hope my principal doesn't see this, but I had it playing in my classroom. And and some of my students were like, the orange team's not doing very well, are they?
And you just failed this class. We don't have to say it out loud. That's
not right. Yeah. Whoops. Yeah, that was brutal.
It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast.
Hey there, sports fans. It's good to be back in familiar surroundings, Darren, back in Louisiana. West Virginia was great, but it's a little cooler up there, even though we had really warm weather while we were up there, so it wasn't bad.
Oh, that's awesome. Good.
But not only am I back in Louisiana, but I am sitting connected with greatness right now, Darren.
Okay.
I mean, you correctly picked the SEC championship game, including the winner, Florida Auburn. Brandon and I both thought you were crazy, but I gotta give it to you, Darren. You know, this one's for you, bud.
I'm doing the crane.
Phenomenal pick, man. You need to brag about this. Live it up. Put it on a plaque and hang it on your wall.
It is March Madness. This is my shining moment. Has never happened before. Might not ever happen again. But I have enjoyed it all. Was for a little over 24 hours. Anybody that would listen, you know, I picked the game and the winner.
this is your moment, man.
That's right.
You earned it.
I went to the garage, grabbed a ladder, climbed up, acted like I was cutting down a net, made my family watch. It was a good afternoon in my house.
We need to get you a trophy.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So congratulations. That was a phenomenal pick. Came true. Florida Auburn met in the championship game. Auburn ended up winning. And the rest is history. You're a legend.
And we will wait till we're talking to Brandon to discuss his words of no. We'll wait till he's on here. I believe that's an exact quote. So we'll.
You've been waiting for this, haven't you?
I've been hearing those words in my head since Saturday night. That's.
Well, we want to mention real quick. Very quick, like quickly, is I believe is the adverb quickly, the baseball top 25. And then we're going to get back to basketball because the brackets are out. Tournament seedings have been announced. We're going to talk about who made it, who's going to win, and who got snubbed by not being invited.
Yes.
So let's look at that top 25 men's baseball bracket. Again, SEC teams. Arkansas holding that top spot. Vanderbilt moved up to 3.
That's a big jump in one weekend, but they did sweep a series against a top 25 team in Auburn. So even being a Vanderbilt fan, I felt like that's a pretty big jump to go from 9-3, but I'll take it. I'm not going to argue.
You're having a great week. You might want to think about a Powerball ticket.
Well, you know, I was a little disappointed that I thought about betting on the SEC tournament, just even throwing like $10 down after the games had started and you couldn't bet anymore. Little disappointed come around Saturday and then Sunday, but what can you do?
In lieu of corporate sponsorships, that could have helped this podcast take great leaps forward.
This week's episode is sponsored by Darren's Bright Shining Moment. That's
So LSU at 5, Florida at 6, A&M at 7, Tennessee 8, Alabama 11, Oklahoma 17, Mississippi State 21, and Auburn 23. Those are your SEC teams currently in the top 25. Again, this is gonna be a baseball season that's gonna go down to the wire. Who's gonna make it to Omaha? And there doesn't seem to be any dull games in the SEC.
And I gotta tell you, watching this first weekend of SEC play, I think we're going to be legitimately blown away by how many SEC teams make it to regionals this year, and then how many teams still continue to climb and end up at Omaha. I think this year has the potential to be a record-setting year as far as the amount of SEC teams that end up in Omaha.
Who am I to argue with you after the week that you just had?
At least for today.
While we continue to join Darren as he basks in his moment of glory.
That's right.
We're going to step away for this week in sports history.
March 29th, 1982, 19-year-old North Carolina freshman Michael Jordan makes a 16-foot jump shot 15 seconds later to give the Tar Heels a 63-62 win over Georgetown, the NCAA tournament championship. The winning shot cements Jordan in the national consciousness, and he goes on to become one of the greatest basketball players in history, with 6 NBA titles with the Chicago Bulls. After Jordan's basket, Georgetown's Fred Brand quickly brought the ball up, but his pass to a teammate instead went to North Carolina's James Worthy, clinching the win for North Carolina. Even though only a freshman, Jordan showed the confidence that would be a trademark this year. Georgetown was led by 7-foot center Patrick Ewing, who led all scorers with 28 points. And Coach John Thompson, one of the best college basketball coaches of all time. He and North Carolina coach Dean Smith, also among the sport's top coaches of all time, were fast friends. The two embraced after the game. The championship was North Carolina's first under Smith, and first since it won its only previous title, 1957. The Tar Heels finished the season 32-2 record.
Oh, thank you.
Joining us again this week is Brandon from West Virginia, our resident Tennessee fan, and he's smiling even though the SEC tournament did not quite go as he imagined it would go, or I, for that matter. We've already given Darren his bragging rights. You had your one shining moment, Darren.
It went the way I thought it would go. I don't know about y'all.
Oh, it went the way I thought it would go, for sure. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the SEC tournament. Brandon, you were worried that Tennessee would do the very thing that they did.
Yeah. I thought they would at least make it to the championship round and choke then. But, man, that was – I don't really have words for it. I knew it would happen, but – I was really hoping not. Don't hope my principal doesn't see this, but I had it playing in my classroom. And and then some of my students were like, the orange team's not doing very well, are they?
And you just failed this class. We don't have to say it out loud. That's not
right. Yeah.
Whoops. Yeah,
that was brutal. Man.
Is this something that's going to affect them, you think, in the tournament, or is this something that they'll use to bounce back from?
Well, at least they got a nice long rest before the other tournament. So
they'll be fresh. That's right.
Got a few extra days to. That's crooked. Got a few extra days to relax there and get ready for a big matchup with goodness, who is it? St. Peter's. Interesting fact about that, it's Ziegler on Ziegler in that matchup. Zakai Ziegler's brother plays for St. Peter's. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's a cool little storyline there. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully Tennessee can kind of sail on past that and focus on what looks to be like probably Texas. So, and then that's, again, that's another really interesting storyline, UT versus UT. Rick Barnes used to be at Texas.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
It's a pretty cool looking tournament or bracket so far. I like the draw that we got. It looks like if things play out, we'll see Creighton in what is it, the Sweet 16, and that'll be a tough matchup. But hopefully by then Tennessee's in the groove and they're playing good and are able to finally advance past the Sweet 16 for the first time in forever. So, I'm excited. I'm excited. I really am. I'm way more excited for this than I was the SEC tournament. I'm hopeful. I believe in them. I hope they don't let Vol Nation down again, but we'll see. I'm pumped. I can't wait. Go Vols.
Actually, that was going to be a question that I wanted to ask. Was there anything that you saw either in the tournament game or during that final stretch of the season, even though, you know, the final stretch of the season didn't look bad per se?
Anything you saw that
concerns you for the tournament, or do you think they can kind of get it on track and kind of get some momentum behind them and do what you're talking about?
Well, the lack of physical play on defense. I mean, in the SEC tournament, they just got, I don't know what the box score was, but it just seemed like they just could not get a rebound. They were getting boxed out. They were getting beat up in the paint. And I don't see that being a concern with, I'm going back and forth my bracket, but I don't see that being a concern with St. Peter's, but I do with Texas, just because Texas plays in arguably the best conference in the country. And those boys are physical, and they'll get down there. They'll throw some elbows. They'll box out hard. They'll set hard screens. I'm concerned with the aggression and the physicalness that Tennessee's been displaying. I mean, they've lost their last two games, and it's because they've been beat up, and they just seem like they're getting pushed around a little bit, and I hope they can step it up on that part of the game. And if they do, then they should go on a nice run.
You know, it's interesting that that's a concern. And last year's team was almost too physical. If you're not on the Tennessee fan, you never saw them as too physical.
If you remember before the Alabama game, Alabama was like mocking them. It looked like they were playing football out on the court or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But I just don't know what happened between that Alabama win, that South Carolina win, and then you get to Kentucky and then the SEC tournament, and it's like they just lost. Maybe they're just tired or something. I don't know. Like I said, at least they got a little bit of a rest, and maybe they can, you know, rebound from that, right?
It gets to be a long season at the end because everyone, the ultimate goal is a national championship. So now you're winding up your regular season play. Then you had to go to your conference tournament and play teams that you've already played several times before, exactly, all while you're trying to keep everyone healthy and ready for the tournament. So I'm not too worried about Tennessee right now. I think they've got a very favorable draw. I agree with you, Brandon.
Yeah.
Creighton seems to be initially their biggest threat, even though the media is going to make a big deal about Tennessee, Texas, Rick Barnes' former team and his current team playing, blah, blah, blah. That's what the media does. But I'm not too worried about Texas. Creighton is the one that I think is a concern.
Yeah.
If they can knock off South Carolina, that's a big if right there. But I like this Tennessee team. And at some point, Rick Barnes is going to get that monkey off his back.
Yeah,
and absolutely. We're gonna
see. It's going to happen at some point. And this year, I think they're set up for it.
Mm-hmm. I do too. Rick Barnes is a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, hands down. He knows what he's doing. It's just whether the guys can just get it together. Because, like I said the last time I was on here, that's the biggest hurdle. They get in their own way, and And I don't know. You can't necessarily blame that on Rick Barnes. I mean, he's not out there playing, but he knows how to motivate. He knows how to coach. It's just whether the guys can receive that and take it in and apply it and just play a good game and win. Yeah. Like, you know, it sounds easier. It's easier said than done, but they just have to find it within themselves to overcome that hurdle of just underachieving in the tournament, you know? And unfortunately they haven't really been consistent with that ever. So, you know, all things come to an end, hopefully, and they'll get over it this year. That's what I'm hoping to see.
Let's talk about some other SEC teams in the tournament. I think Kentucky got put in a very tough position in their particular region. Of course, anytime you get put in the same region as Houston, that's not a good sign. But A&M's in there, which knocked off Kentucky twice this year.
Right.
In fact, this in the tournament, they knocked Kentucky off. We were in Murray, Kentucky, home of Murray State University. And we were eating at a place that was similar. It was a local place, but it's kind of like a Buffalo Wild Wings where they have all the TVs and you get wings and, you know, food like that. And they turned every TV to the Kentucky game when it started. And everybody in there, I think, was a Kentucky fan. So we just rolled with it and we were cheered for them as well. And evidently they attributed the loss to us because they threw us out. No, I'm just kidding. I just made that part up. But it went from euphoria every time Kentucky scored, people were cheering, to when they lost, it was like, are we at a wake? What's going on here?
The air left the room.
What do you think about this? But I'm very concerned about this Kentucky team. The consistency, there's no consistency. So I think that's a big concern. What do you think, Darren?
Yeah, and when you look at their draw, you look at the region that they ended up in, like you pointed out, they're obviously in there with Houston. You've also got Duke. You've got Florida. You've got A&M. Marquette. Yeah, that's another great point. To me, everything that went positively for the draw that Tennessee got went the exact opposite for Kentucky. And truthfully, I think it's the worst possible year for that to happen to them because of that, the very thing you've said, that inconsistency, because, you know, they play who they start out with, Oakland, and then they end up with an NC State or a Texas Tech.
NC State is on fire, too.
And that's the thing. You come up against them, and you play with the same level of inconsistency that you've done throughout this season. I mean, you survive your first round, you're headed home. You know, you win on whatever it is. You win on Wednesday or Thursday. You're headed home on Saturday, however that all shakes out, whatever. And I think that's a very – if I'm a Kentucky fan, that's a very legitimate concern. Because you look at every step of this South region for them, there is no such thing as an easy step. Outside, obviously, you would think they can handle Oakland. But looking at how things have gone sometimes in the past, I would say that's even a little scary if I'm a Kentucky fan.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Auburn. They got put in a region with no other SEC teams, I believe.
I noticed that as well.
But what a doozy of a first game. They go against Yale.
Yep.
Do not overlook that.
No.
They got the last second shot, right? That's who Yale
against
did.
Against Brown.
Yeah, against Brown. Yeah. Okay.
Ivy League schools, once they get in the tournament, they have a tendency to disrupt things.
Yeah. And even though they don't have an SEC foe that they may run into, I mean, even if they survive a Yale, even if they get, I mean, they're headed they're in that section of the bracket where their only shot at the Elite Eight is through, you know, a UConn, you know, the number one seed or whoever has beat the number one seed if it's not UConn. So that's a little bit of an ugly draw, even though you're the only SEC team in that region.
Yeah, they got stuck. That.
There's two Final Four teams from last year in it, too.
Yep.
FAU and San Diego State.
Yep, that's right.
And don't overlook Iowa State. Talk about teams that are on fire right now.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely.
They dismantled Houston in that Big 12 championship game. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I still think that UConn is probably the overall favorite here.
Yeah.
But, boy, what a tough region with them and Iowa State. Yep. And then you go down to the other region, and you have Mississippi State and Alabama are lumped together in that one. Mm-hmm. Now, I think either one of those teams could make a pretty deep run in that particular region. What are you looking at? North Carolina is the number one seed, probably the weakest of the four number one seeds, maybe.
I would say so.
Yeah, Arizona's the number two.
I don't know. Purdue might be the weakest, honestly. That's a pretty close matchup. Yeah.
So what?
Go ahead.
I was just curious what you guys think. Which SEC team has a legit chance to make it to a Final Four? Who has the best chance?
Tennessee. I mean, just looking at the like we just kind of went over the brackets and talked about how hard it's going to be for Kentucky. Florida's right there in the same bracket with Kentucky. Auburn is in a really tough spot too. And what do you got? Alabama and Mississippi State. I think it'll be a toss up between Tennessee and Alabama, but I think Alabama's probably got a little bit of a tougher road ahead of them. So I'm going to go with Tennessee. They might have the best chance to make it, based on how the bracket plays out. I'm really not even being biased there. I mean, I think everyone else has a very hard bracket, and Tennessee got a good draw. So. That's right. Yes. Nice.
I can't. What were we talking about? I can't think. I can't hear. How awesome
Tennessee is. That's what we're talking about. We just lost Darren.
Yeah, completely. I almost like stiffened up and fell over like one of those fainting goats. You know, if you were to just say, okay, look at all of the teams in the tournament, what two teams do you think has an Elite Eight, a Final Four run in them? My gut would have been, honestly, Tennessee. But my other answer, truthfully, would be Auburn, just because I think they're hot. I think they're on a roll. I think they can create momentum and do some incredible things. Unfortunately for them, I think their draw won't allow for that momentum, just like we just talked about. As far as Alabama, I think they got a draw equivalent to maybe not as good as Tennessee, but they're in a pretty good spot. But for whatever reason, I'm not buying it. I don't know. There's just something about this team I feel is disconnected. If they get on a roll – and they can put up 121, you know, a couple of times in a row, that might get them to a Sweet 16. But I think if they come up against somebody that can just kind of sit on top of you and defensively smother you, I don't think they deal well with that. And I think that is something that eliminates them from a real contention of a Final Four or even an Elite Eight. I mean, if Auburn were to make it to the Elite Eight of the Final Four, you're talking about a historic run. The teams that they would have to go through to get there would be a historic run. So I don't know that I'm necessarily buying that. I think Tennessee has the clear shot.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Which, does that make you more nervous, Brandon, that we're picking Tennessee?
I mean – you know, no, I'm not more nervous. I think it's a good pressure because people that aren't biased to Tennessee can appreciate how good they actually are. and can see the how the bracket's laid out and you know, like I've said several times, I just hope they can just get it together this time and just play good consistently and beat these teams that they're more than capable of beating. This team got, I mean, they got such a huge break with this bracket that it's going to be, I mean, I might cry if they don't make an Elite Eight this year. I mean, they've got to get it together and they've got to play well. And there's no reason why they can't make it to the Elite Eight or even the Final Four. As long as they play, as long as they let Barnes coach them, there's no reason besides just the Tennessee curse, I guess. I don't know. But like I've said, this is the year, I think. So here we go.
Well, I tell you, one of the best things that could happen for them is if the national media spends a lot of time talking about Purdue, Creighton, Texas, if these other teams in this Midwest region can get enough national media attention that the Tennessee players, not from the coaching staff, but outside of the coaching staff, that locker room can get a little bit of an underdog edge to them. We're sitting at number two, and everybody, they're talking about everybody but us. That would be the best thing in the world, because I think that would step up some of those things that we've been talking about, and it would be of great benefit to that locker room if that were to happen.
Exactly. I mean, I think Rick Barnes is a master motivator. Mm-hmm. And he will definitely use that as locker room material. Absolutely. Hey, look, they're talking about Zach Edey. And, nobody cares about Tennessee, even though we're a number two seed. So I think those guys would really respond to that. That's a good point.
Yeah, I think it'd definitely be a benefit for sure if that were to happen. And I think it's very possible because, just like you said, Purdue is going to get a ton of attention and be an enormous piece of the conversation. And I think that same thing can happen with Creighton and even Texas, truthfully. I think Texas obviously gets a lot of media attention.
Texas is just always – they're always just brought up by the media. I mean, they're absolutely media, no matter what, darlings.
Yep.
So they will get attention no matter what. Mm-hmm. I had a thought. Oh, so I don't want to contradict myself, but Purdue, something really cool about them is they've had the same starting five the entire season. Can you believe that? Like, they never changed their starting five all year. And you talk about a model of consistency. Like, that's impossible, you would think. But no one even got injured or anything. I wish Tennessee could be that consistent. And if they are, then it's national championship or bust for sure.
Yeah. I think Vanderbilt didn't have the same starting five in the first 10 games of the season. So I have no idea what that looks like. That's a really interesting little fun fact you should know, because what does that mean? How does that translate it during this time of the year when you've had those same five guys that consistently walk out on the floor together every year? That's really, or every night for the entire season. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of scary.
Yeah.
But oh well. We'll see.
Great point.
Yeah.
Brandon, thanks for joining us to talk a little bit about Tennessee basketball in the tournament. We'll be checking back in with you as we see how the Vols do in this tournament. Hopefully it's good, because we don't want to see you cry on the show.
Exactly. I know, right?
Oh, boy.
But take care up there in wild, wonderful West Virginia.
I'm a Tennessee fan, but I live in West Virginia. West Virginia girls, I don't want to get off topic where I know this is an SEC podcast, but West Virginia's girls head coach, Coach Kellogg, he said something pretty cool today. It got me fired up. He said, I don't want him to overlook their first round matchup. I'm not sure who it is, honestly, but they could potentially play Iowa in the second round, West Virginia's girls. Mm-hmm. And he said something to the effect of, let's make Caitlin Clark pack her bags. Let's go out here and get this win. And I thought that was kind of bold, but
yeah,
got me fired up. So man, yeah.
A lot of people have said that. Few have succeeded.
That's exactly right. Right. I know.
We'll see how it goes. But
yeah, you
know, go Vols, go Mountaineers.
All right, take care, Brandon.
You guys. Thank you, Brandon.
Darren, you ready to make some picks?
I am ready. Let's see what kind of, I guess, damage we can do.
In one of the best additions to the tournament, in my opinion, ever, is the first four. I love the first four that starts on Tuesday.
Agree completely.
These are teams that barely made it in. They have a chance to now make some noise. So let's go with our first four. Representing the South region in the first four are two 10 seeds, Boise State and Colorado. Colorado sliding in there. Boise State, a little bit of controversy there. Of course, any pick, if your team gets excluded and another team gets included, that's controversial.
That's exactly. That's part of what makes March Madness. Exactly.
So who do you like, Darren, in this game between these two squads?
I think I'm just going to go with Boise State. I don't have a rhyme or a reason. It's just the gut. How's that? How about you?
I'm going to go with Colorado, believing that the primetime effect is going to filter over to the basketball team.
I see. Now you make me – I've already regretted a pick, and we're one in. Well, there you go.
So. Representing the Midwest – 216 seeds, Montana State, and Grambling for the first time ever in school history. Congratulations to Grambling.
Absolutely.
Just down about 50, 60 miles from here, just down the road. How exciting is that? So
that's awesome.
I'm going to go first, Darren. I'm going to be a homer here. I'm going to go for Grambling. They're as local as it gets. So go Tigers.
Yeah, I'm completely in. I'll go Grambling as well. History honestly would tell us first time in ever typically doesn't go that well. But like you said, they're as local as it gets. How do we not go with them? I'm in agreement. I'll go with Grambling.
You watch your mouth, Darren. Also representing in the Midwest is our two 10 seeds, Virginia and Colorado State. A lot of controversy about whether or not Virginia did enough to make the team. And we're going to talk a little bit about some snubs that we feel, teams that were left out. Who do you like in this one?
You know, I'm going to go with Colorado State on this one. I'm just not buying what UVA is selling. So I think Colorado State has got a good shot in this one. So I'm going to go with them. How about you?
I'm going to agree with you on that. I'm not impressed with this Virginia team. So let's go Rams. Representing the West in the final of the first four games, 216 seeds, Howard and Wagner.
How about Howard? I'm just, again, don't ask me why. Don't have a reason. I'm going to go with Howard. How about you?
I'm going to go with Wagner just to shake things up. Darren, just so
I'm for it.
We can have something to disagree about.
There you go. I like it.
Let's before we move over to the East and start picking the first and second round games, Darren, let's talk a little bit about teams that we think were snubbed in the selection mm-hmm. process. Mm-hmm. This happens every year. No one completely agrees with the selections of the committee, but the teams on my list, Darren, and if you have more to add, let me know what they are, or we'll just talk about these. Mm-hmm. and I put them in this order because I think this is the order of the biggest snub. Seton Hall definitely was the biggest snub.
Absolutely.
Where were they? 13-7 in the Big East, toughest conferences in the country.
Yep.
Pitt, I think, was snubbed.
Yeah, definitely.
And talking about, okay, they lost to Missouri, they lost to West Virginia. Those schools are typically pretty good at basketball. They both had down years this year, and Pitt ended up getting penalized. Oklahoma is another one that I thought was snubbed. St. John's and Indiana State. That was my list. What about you, Darren?
No, I'm in complete agreement. Those are the ones I had as well. Honestly, Oklahoma was one that really, really stood out to me. I didn't see or I didn't understand. I didn't understand how it kind of shook out that when you look at some of the teams that made it in, even some of the teams even in these first four in that we've talked about, I think it's clear that Oklahoma is better than some of those teams. And obviously a Seton Hall, a Pitt, you know, especially. I think with those two, you can make that exact same argument. I mean, you can come up with a pretty decent, not just a one-off, a one here, a two there. I think you can come up with a pretty decent list when you look at the teams that did make it in, and I'm not talking about automatic qualifiers. When you look at the teams that were selected, I think you can come up with a pretty decent list that either of those three teams were better than. But like you said, that's part of what makes March what it is. You know, there's always somebody that's going to be left out.
OU, it appears they were penalized for being injured. They're healthy now. I don't know how the committee – they have a rationale for everything that they do. But particularly those first three, Seton Hall, Pitt, Oklahoma, those are some awfully big snubs.
Yeah, I agree completely. Those are the ones that immediately jumped out at me more than any others, truthfully. Those were big.
Yeah. Well, let us know what you think. Do you agree with those snubs, or do you think there is another team that received an even bigger snub than that one? Let us know. Send us a message. Leave us a comment, and let us hear from you. Let's move on to the first round games in the East. We're gonna pick up in the East region. UConn has to be your favorite to win the whole thing. Is taking on 16 seeded Stetson.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, right. Stetson, good for you for getting there, but yeah, okay.
Moving on. Florida Atlantic. They went to the Final Four last year, didn't they?
Yep, they sure did. We're incredible.
Coming in at an 8 seed against 9th seeded Northwestern. Darren, I like Florida Atlantic. What about you?
I'm in complete agreement. I think this is an FAU win.
Next game is one of those 12-5 matchups, which tend to be upsets. UAB at the 12th seed going against the 5th seed at San Diego State, another Final Four team from last year. Darren, who you like in this one?
I'm going to be honest. Only because it's a 5-12, I have really waffled. I have, up to the last minute, kind of flipped back and forth on this one. There's a little bit of a gut on me that's saying UAB – is going to be the 12 that pulls this one off. But I think I'm going to ignore my gut on this one, and I'm going to go with San Diego State. I think San Diego State wins this one.
I think I'm going to join you in selecting the Aztecs to advance. Our next matchup, 4th-seeded Auburn going up against 13th-seeded Yale. This one gives me a little bit of heartburn, Darren. But I think I'm going to stick with Auburn pulling it out, but I don't think it's going to be easy.
I agree. I would feel much better for Auburn if they were playing someone other than Yale. But I do think Auburn is on enough of a roll that they'll definitely win this one.
Our next game features the 6th-seeded BYU Cougars against the 11th-seeded Duquesne. Dukes, how about Duquesne? First NCAA appearance since, I think, 1977?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's pretty exciting for them. And you know, I said when we picked Grambling that, you know, the first time ever doesn't work out well historically. But sometimes when you have kind of that rebirth and you've made it back for the first time in a long time, that can create a little bit of an excitement. I don't know why, probably going to end up wrong on this one, but I'm feeling Duquesne a little bit on this one. So I'm going Duquesne.
Wow. And everybody in Pittsburgh is cheering right now.
And I sound like I know what I'm talking about because I didn't pronounce it Duquesne. So that
that would have killed all the credibility.
Exactly.
I like this Duquesne team as well. However, I think BYU is better, so I'm going to go with them. In our next matchup, we have the third-seeded Fighting Illini against fourth-seeded Morehead State. And again, one of those matchups where you sit and you pause because, wait a second, this could be a lot closer than we think. Yep. Darren?
It could be, but I think I'm going with the Illini on this one. I Morehead State has a good team, has done well in the past as far as their first round game at different times in the tournament, but I think this is an Illini win.
I agree with you. Moving on to our next game, seventh-seeded Washington State facing 10th-seeded Drake. Darren, I like Drake in this one.
I can't give you, like, these are the three basketball reasons why, but me too. I like Drake in this one.
Yeah. They're very well coached. That's going to be a good game. And then in our final game of the region, the second-seeded Iowa State Cyclones facing off against fifth-seeded South Dakota State. Very few teams have come into this tournament as hot as Iowa State, Darren. Yeah,
agree.
I'm going with the Cyclones.
Yeah, I hate it for South Dakota State. This is not going to be pretty. Definitely a Cyclone win.
Yeah. Let's move on to the West Regional, where North Carolina will face the winner of one of our first four contests. And Darren, do we even need to talk about that? Or are we both going with the Tar Heels here?
Definitely.
Tar Heels. Following is an 8-9 matchup, Mississippi State against Michigan State. A lot of what I've heard today, questions about Michigan State even being in the tournament.
Yep.
They're coming up against a Mississippi State team that has shown flashes of greatness at times.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be enough to beat Tom Izzo, his experience in the tournament, and this Spartan squad?
You know, if it was just a straight 8-9 game that didn't involve Tom Izzo and what he can do in the tournament, although his last couple of years, it doesn't go well when I talk negatively or speak ill of Tom Izzo, so I'll just keep moving. I won't even go down that path. I think Mississippi State has a strong enough defense that just a straight up like 8-9 game, I think Mississippi State could win that. And even though that 9 opponent is Michigan State, I'm going to go with Mississippi State on this one. I think they win this first round matchup.
They do have a good squad. But there are a couple of rules I have when it comes to picking teams in the NCAA tournament. And one of those is never pick against Tom Izzo. So I'm going to go with the Spartans here.
I understand.
That takes us to a 5-12 matchup, St. Mary's against Grand Canyon. And I believe you are familiar with the Grand Canyon head coach.
I have seen him before.
Upset, or do you see St. Mary's advancing?
To me, I think St. Mary's wins this. I obviously, it's a 5-12, so it's prime for an upset. But I like this St. Mary's team, so I think St. Mary's wins this one. How about you?
I agree. I'm going to go with the Gales, right?
Yes.
St. Mary's Gales. That takes us to fourth-seeded Alabama against 13th-seeded College of Charleston. Alabama's head coach, Nate Oates, just received a contract extension, including a massive buyout.
Yeah.
So high expectations for the Crimson Tide program, and I think they are going to advance to round two.
Yeah, agree completely. This is an Alabama win.
Yeah. And that takes us to 6-seeded Clemson against 11th-seeded New Mexico. Who do you like here, Darren?
I'm going to go with this Clemson as the favorite. This I think this is a Clemson win.
Agree. How about you? Agree. Third-seeded Baylor against 14th-seeded Colgate. I've got the Bears.
Absolutely.
The Bears.
Bears. Wrong ones, but the Bears.
The seventh seeded Dayton Flyers facing off against 10th seeded Nevada. Who you like, Darren?
You know, this one, for whatever reason, kind of feels like an upset to me. Although this is one of the ones I'm the most, I lack any form of confidence in, because I like Dayton. They typically, if they make the tournament, they bring a pretty good team to the tournament. But I think Nevada wins this one.
I'm going to go with Dayton. They have a fan base. The Flyer Faithful is their nickname. Incredibly loyal. People don't realize what a big basketball town Dayton is. I'm going to go with the Flyers here, pulling out a win, advancing to the second round. That takes us to second-seeded Arizona against 15th-seeded Long Beach State, one of the more interesting stories so far of the tournament, having a coach who's already been fired but still coaching the team. Is that going to be enough to upset the Wildcats?
No. Good for them. Great story, or very unique story, maybe is a better way to say that. But no, an Arizona win.
I agree. That takes us to the South Regional. The number one seed Houston Cougars are facing up against 16th-seeded Longwood Houston.
Yep, exactly.
That follows an 8-9 matchup, Nebraska versus A&M. A little bit of drama here since Trev Alberts, the athletic director at Nebraska, just accepted the same position at A&M. A little interesting.
Very much so.
Who are you liking this one, Darren?
I buy into this A&M team. I really, really like them. I like their defense. I like their style of play. I think they win this game.
I'm going to go with the Aggies as well. That takes us to a 5-12 matchup. Wisconsin as the fifth seed against the 12th-seeded James Madison.
You know, this is one of the 5-12s I'm calling just strictly because it's a 5-12. I'm going James Madison.
I am joining you.
All right. So we're definitely missing this one, is what you just said. We both called it. Not a chance.
Upset alert. Where's our siren? The fourth-seeded Duke Blue Devils are taking on 13th-seeded Vermont. Duke. Texas Tech Red Raiders, the sixth seed against the 11th-seeded NC State Wolfpack, who just won the ACC tournament, and they are on fire coming into this game.
And I think they're on fire enough to pull off the upset. I'm going with NC State on this one.
I think I'll join you with this one. Takes us to the third seed, Kentucky Wildcats against 14th seed Oakland. Kentucky's been so up and down. This game could wind up being a closer game than we think. I do think that Kentucky pulls it out.
I think they do too, but I think that's a good call on your part. I think, unfortunately for Kentucky and the Kentucky faithful, I think this game's going to be closer than people – how close of a game it is, it's going to be part of what people are talking about when it's over with, even though Kentucky pulls off the win.
Seventh-seeded Florida will face one of the first four winners. I don't think it matters who it is. Florida's going to move on.
Agree completely. Florida win.
Second-seeded Marquette against the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky. Marquette,
exactly.
That takes us to the Midwest, where number one seed Purdue will face a first four winner. Even though they had a shocking upset loss last year, I don't see history repeating itself. Purdue moves on.
I'm going Graham. No, I probably wish they could, but no, Purdue.
An 8-9 matchup, Utah State versus TCU. I'm a huge Jamie Dixon fan. He's a great coach at TCU. I think they're physical. I see them winning this.
I agree completely. I think their physicality, the way they play the game, helps them with any matchups, especially when it's a close like an 8-9. And I agree completely. I think TCU wins this game.
Another 5-12 matchup, Gonzaga against the 12th-seeded McNeese State Cowboys. I'm going to call it, Darren. I know we're not big Will Wade fans after how it all went down at LSU, but he's done a tremendous job at McNeese. I think they pull this off.
Man, you make a strong case, and you're right. They have really looked impressive. But there's just something about the zags when it comes to tournament time. And I think they can come into a game, even a 5-12, with enough swagger to kind of flat out that wave that the 12 brings to it. That so many or so often 12 comes in, builds a little bit of momentum, and it's kind of like, hey, wait a minute, we can actually pull this off. You know, 12s win all the time, and then all that stuff kind of starts playing in your head, and then the 12 kind of takes over the game or stays in it long enough to be around at the end to win. I think Gonzaga can ride that wave and win out. So I'm going with Gonzaga on this one.
All right. Four-seeded Kansas dealing with some injuries. 13-seeded Samford. Some are picking Samford to pull off the upset. I'm going to stick with the Jayhawks.
Yeah, I agree completely. It would be an incredible story if Samford pulls this one off, but I think that the Jayhawks win it.
The 6-seed South Carolina Gamecocks, one of the best stories so far of this basketball season.
Absolutely.
Face off against the 11th-seeded Oregon Ducks. Oregon head coach Dana Altman, I believe, has never lost a first-round game in the NCAA tournament. Does it start now, or does Oregon move on?
You know, I believe in the South Carolina team. It may be SEC bias. I'm willing to admit that, or at least throw that out there as a possibility. But I think this South Carolina team is good enough to win a first-round game in the tournament for favoring. I'm going with the Gamecocks.
Agree, South Carolina. Third-seeded Creighton faces off against 14-seeded Akron. Creighton.
Yeah, completely agree.
7th-seeded Texas will face a first four winner, Texas.
Yeah, completely agree.
2nd-seeded Tennessee against 15th-seeded St. Peter's. I've got the Vols.
I do too, but you know, St. Peter's can be scary. No, I've got the balls of the balls.
Are we going to round two now, Darren?
Here we go. It's round two.
Ding, 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 ding. Like you said last week, you can't unring that bell.
That's right. You cannot. But you start round two.
By the way, great pick on the SEC championship game. Florida, Auburn, tremendous.
I will take it. All right, going back to the East region, we both had UConn coming out of their first-round game with a win, and I think we both picked FAU. Is that correct, as a first-round win? So we've got UConn versus FAU. Ben, who do you have in that one?
UConn.
All right, UConn, and I am doing the same thing. I'm going UConn as well. The next game in that one would be – I had San Diego State – versus Auburn. I think we both had that as well. So who do you take in that one?
I'm going with Bruce Pearl's squad. Let's go Auburn.
This one gives me so much pause because of San Diego State. But like we talked about, even when we were talking to Brandon, there is just such a momentum train that Auburn is on. I feel like that gets them through this one. So I'm going Auburn as well. Now, in our next matchup, I think we both had Illinois winning their first-round game, but I went with Duquesne over BYU, and you went with BYU, correct?
Correct.
So I'll go first in this one. In Illinois versus Duquesne, as fun as the story is, I think it ends there. So I'm going to go with Illinois as the winner. And in Illinois BYU, who do you have as the winner?
I've got the Illini.
Okay. Then let's see. The next one was we both chose Iowa State as the second seed, winning their first round game. And did we both choose Drake? I believe we did. Mm-hmm. All right. So Iowa State versus Drake. Who do you have winning?
I really like this Drake team, but they're not going to beat Iowa State. I've,
okay.
I've got the Cyclones.
I was getting ready to write. He's lost his mind. Yeah, I'm in total agreement. Iowa State. So the what would that be? That's Sweet 16 in the East region. We have the exact same four: UConn, Auburn, Illinois, Iowa State. We agree all the way down. Interesting. All right. So in the West region, we both had UNC winning, obviously, and I went with UNC Mississippi State, and you have UNC Michigan State. Now, your rule in the first round was never pick against Tom Izzo. How does that rule stand when they're playing the Tar Heels? Who you got?
Spartans are going to shock everybody and upset the Tar Heels.
Wow. All right. Now, that is interesting.
Is that really what you just wrote down?
Actually, I wrote Ben-Michigan State. I didn't even write he's lost his mind, because it is Tom Izzo, so I'll give you that.
I got to do something drastic to keep up with you, the Florida-Auburn pick.
See, I'm cruising. Even if I mess this up, I pick Florida-Auburn. I'm good. UNC Mississippi State, as much as I would love to see a Mississippi State pull off that upset, I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately, for Mississippi State fans. So I see North Carolina coming out of that and headed to the Sweet 16. All right. So then we both chose St. Mary's over Grand Canyon. I mean, Bryce Drew's going to give it his all, but no. So St. Mary's over Grand Canyon. And then we both picked Alabama over Charleston as well, correct? So St. Mary's versus Alabama. Who's headed to the Sweet 16?
Roll Tide.
Nice. Really? Okay.
I can't believe that those words just came out of my mouth.
Now I'm writing lost officially. I don't know who he is. That's actually what I just
I need some mouthwash. I feel very dirty right now.
Mouthwash and Alka-Seltzer, if I can get that. Well, when we were talking to Brandon, I said there was something about this Alabama team that I just don't – I feel like anybody catches them and shuts them down, shuts down especially the three-point shot, and then starts to, you know, limit offensive rebounds and stuff like that, can beat them. And it doesn't matter who it is. And I think St. Mary's is that team. So I'm actually – I'm going St. Mary's in this one. I think they beat Alabama and head to the Sweet 16. All right, the next matchup in the second round, Clemson at Clemson-Baylor. I think we both had that, Clemson over New Mexico and Baylor over Colgate. So Clemson-Baylor, who you got?
Baylor.
I agree completely. I think – I don't know how far the run will go, but I think this is going to be a good year for – the other Drew brother and the Baylor Bears. All right. So in the next matchup, the final matchup in that second round of the West region, I believe you had Dayton over Nevada, and then playing Arizona. We both had Arizona. So Dayton, Nevada, who you got? Nope. No. Let's try that again. Dayton, Arizona. Who you got?
Arizona.
Yeah, and I've got Arizona, Nevada. We ended up the same place, Arizona. So, all right. So we didn't come to complete agreement in that one. We kind of varied a little bit. So that'll be interesting to see how all that works out. All right, now over to the South region. We both had Houston surviving their first round matchup. And I believe we both had A&M surviving their first round matchup. So we've got Houston, A&M. Who you got?
Houston.
Agree completely. You had Wisconsin beating James Madison?
No, Madison.
We both had James Madison. So in this one, we've got James Madison as the 12 seed versus Duke, the 4 seed. Who do you think wins this one?
James Madison.
All right. James Madison, for whatever reason, is a team that I also looked at as well. Can they beat Duke? And for whatever reason, I decided no. I can't even really tell you why I decided no. But I went with Duke in this one. So I'm thinking Duke beats James Madison. And even though we're waiting till next week to call the Sweet 16 games, it really, honestly, as far as my two cents worth is, it's all we're picking who's going to lose to Houston. But you know, we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that next week. All right, NC State in the next matchup. I think we both had NC State beating Texas Tech. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then we both had Kentucky winning. So Kentucky, NC State, a 3 versus an 11. Who do you think wins?
I'm going to stick with the Wildcats here. I think Kentucky moves on.
I am going to say that Mr. Calipari is not going to have a very good night.
No.
I think NC State, I think the inconsistency, everything we've talked about all season long shows up in the second round. NC State, yes, they're an 11 seed, but they are hot. They are on a roll, and I think they beat this Kentucky team. All right, so you have NC State. I have Kentucky. Nope, say that backwards. I have NC State. You have Kentucky. And then in our final matchup, second round matchup in the South region, we both chose Florida as the 7th seed to win their game against the play-in winner. And we both had the number 2 seed Marquette winning their first round game. So number 7 Florida versus number 2 Marquette. Who wins that matchup?
Marquette. I like this. Marquette's a tough team.
Yeah, I agree completely. All right. Now, here's where the real fun begins. Right off the bat, we both had Purdue as the 1 seed winning their first round game, and we both had TCU as the 9 seed winning their first round game. So we've got number 1 Purdue, number 9 TCU. Who wins this matchup?
I'm going to go with the Boilermakers. The consistency, the veteran leadership is going to carry them to the next round.
Prior to Brandon's little fun fact, you should know that they'd had the same 5 starters all season long. I was very confident in this pick, even though my confidence has waned a little. I'm still going to roll with it. I'm calling TCU with the upset. I think they beat Purdue in this second round matchup. I didn't feel it last year. I don't think I called the first round loss last year, but I had them going out early. I'm feeling the exact same way this year. I think they go out early, and I think TCU does it. So I'm thinking TCU makes it to the Sweet 16 over Purdue. All right. I think in the next second round matchup in the Midwest, I think we both had – no, we did not. We both had Kansas as the number 4 seed winning their first round game, but I have them playing Gonzaga as the 5 seed, and you have them playing McNeese as at the 12 seed. So Kansas 4, McNeese 12. Who you have winning this game?
I think the Jayhawks will pull this out. McNeese will put up a battle, but at the end of the day, Bill Self's squad is just too loaded from top to bottom.
And I'm probably going to end up regretting this, but I'm going to roll with Gonzaga. I think they beat Kansas. All right. The next game, I know we both had, I think we had the exact same teams in this one. We had South Carolina over Oregon and Creighton over Akron. Is that correct? Did you have South Carolina winning? All right. So I'll go first on this one. I think Creighton is a team to look out for. And as much as I like this South Carolina team, I don't think as good as their season has been, they're not at the level to take on a Creighton and win at this point yet. A year down the road, who knows? but not this team this year. So I think Creighton wins. How about you? Creighton, South Carolina.
Yeah, I'm going with Creighton as well.
Okay. And now, number seven, I think we both have, or I know we both have, number seven, Texas versus number two, Tennessee. And this is for the shot at the Sweet 16. Who you think wins it?
I'm going with Tennessee. I think they move on to the next round. Rick Barnes really gets everything falls together for him this year.
You know, to me, I'm in agreement. I think Tennessee wins this game, and I think this could be a kind of a boost. This is what kind of really, you know, strike the match and light the bottle rocket, or, you know, light the rocket, whatever. I think they win this Texas game, possibly even convincingly, just throwing it out there that it's a possibility, and it really sets their course for, yes, it's a good Creighton team, but this is a good Tennessee team as well. It really sets their course for what the next couple of weeks look like. I think in a positive light, possibly if they yeah. do as well in this game against Texas as I think they're going to. I think that's it. I think we've covered first and second round.
Can't wait for the games to start. They will start Tuesday night with the first four, and then mm-hmm. a full slate of games on Thursday and Friday. The madness is here. We've been waiting oh, yes. for it all year, and it's finally here. So thank you for tuning oh, in. Be sure and, to remember that we do a tournament pick'em every year. And Darren, tell people how they can sign up for that.
Well, I'm going to try to use both hands to see if I can be coordinated. It's kind of that pat your head, rub your belly thing. All right, so I'm pointing at tournament pick'em. And I'm using this hand here. I'll do it out in front to point down below at the show notes. So tournament pick 'em in the show notes below. There's a link. We use ESPN. We do the same bracketology, you know, that the entire country uses, or bracket challenge that the entire country uses. We have a great time every single year. We have a lot of people play in it with us. It's always been fun. We're very excited. We're hoping that we'll have more people than we've ever had. So please click that link, and you'll see it goes directly to the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast group, and you just make sure and sign in to your ESPN account, and then you can be in our group and pick your bracket, and we'll talk about that as we go. We'll keep up with how everybody's doing and talk about the picks, and that'll be part of what we do each week going forward throughout March Madness. We're super excited. Really want, you know, you can copy and paste the link, send it to friends as well to get them involved. It's an open to the public group, doesn't require a password or anything. So copy and paste it in the show notes, send it by email or text to a friend. We want to get a lot of people involved. We're really excited about having a bunch of people in it this year.
And as we've done in the past, whoever winds up as the winner for this contest will receive a special gift from compliments of the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. We'll Absolutely. Talk about that in the next couple of weeks as the tournament finally winds down. But this is going to be a great time. Enjoy the games.
Yes.
Make your picks. Send them in. Be sure to hit that like, subscribe button. That means a lot to us.
Absolutely.
It helps us as far as algorithms and things like that we don't fully understand.
Yep. But
we appreciate you tuning in every week. Until next Tuesday when a new episode drops, y'all take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or text to our text line, 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. See you next week.